Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Nitro Beard Power Hour. My name is Wes Gardner, your host of these delicious proceedings. It's going to be a good show. I have a good feeling about this one. I will say in advance, though, that my mind is a little off kilter. I mean, you could argue that my mind's a little off kilter anyway. But it's a little, you know, in other areas right now. I am deep in StarCraft II: Heart of the Swarm. I'm in it to win it. I'm being somebody. I'm training up, hoping to be good. They added all those new, like, versus AI things and placement match stuff and training, and that's really what I've been doing. I've been playing the campaign, too. It's really good, but I will just say, if you're wanting to get into real-time strategy, StarCraft II is the place to do it. I would say that and Company of Heroes, depending on what type of strategy game you like. And, of course, there's Civ and Sid Meier's Office Centauri and stuff like that too, but that's a whole other discussion. But man, oh man, StarCraft II's good. So good. That's actually kind of why this episode is late. But I'm going to make it up to you. You want to know why? Because I got your questions right here in front of me. And you know what? We're going to do them first. We normally save it for the end of the show, the big shebang. But you know what? I'm going to do them first. We're going to have two segments. Today we're going to do the listener and reader questions, and then second segment it's going to be kind of the new releases. I'm going to talk a little bit about the whole thing going on with EA and SimCity and that whole. I kind of touched on it last week, but kind of, you know, it's evolved a little bit, and just some wacky shenanigans have been going on with that. I'm going to cover that, and then I'm going to cover one other thing. I can't even. Oh yeah, MLG. My thoughts on esports and stuff like that. Going to cover that. MLG, the winter 2013 season just ended, I think, yesterday. Yeah, it was the 15th through the 17th. Happened in Dallas. I wish I would have known and I would have gone. Done some cool videos and articles for you guys, but there's always next year. But anyway, enough of that. We're going to get to that later in the show. The most important part, your questions. I got them right here. And we are going to start with our good friend, the man, the myth, the legend, heavyweight champion of the world, reigning, defending, our good friend Marco Flores. Let's see, first question, any recommendations for mobile phone games? I actually don't play a lot of games on my phone, oddly enough. I think partly, one, I have a shitty phone, so that doesn't help, like it always kind of lags out and stuff like that. But I will say if there's one company I would look at, it's Karosoft, I think is the way you pronounce it. They do, like, Beastie Bay, which is a Pokemon game. They basically do impersonations of really super popular franchises. And the best way I think of it is, you know how you have Dr. Pepper, and then you go down the really shady aisle in the grocery store, and you start seeing your regional knockoffs, like Dr. Thunder? You know what I mean? Like, you see that, or you see whenever you go to the cereal aisle, and, oh, there's Cookie Crisp! And then right under it is just a bag. It's not even in a fucking box. It's just a bag that you open. And it looks kind of like Cookie Crisp, but it's called, like, Cookie Crunch or Crispy Cooks. You know what I mean? Like, just a weird. But, hey, it tastes the same, sort of. See, that's the weird thing. Some of the generic stuff tastes great. Some of it is, ooh, stay far away from it. But mobile phone games, I would say Karosoft. If you have an Android, I think it's also on iPhone. There's another game I really want to get into, but my phone's so bad it can't support it, called Rage of Bahamut, which is a trading card game. And I'm not big on actual physical trading card games, because it's just a money sink. And, you know, I don't really have anyone around here that would be able to play them with me. But on a phone, where you have, like, your digital library there, and you can play versus the AI and stuff like that, it's a lot of fun. You know, that type of game is really cool. Like, I have the Magic the Gathering games on Steam, and I play those quite a bit, even though I'm terrible at Magic the Gathering. But the premise is really cool, and you can collect them and trade them with people over the internet, and it's really cool stuff. But, yeah, there's that. There's a few other ones, too. I know Square put out the Final Fantasy stuff on the phones. And those are pretty good ports, apparently. Just make sure you have a good phone. Not like me. Not like, you know, mine can fucking barely play Snake. But here we go. Another one from Marco Flores. Let's see. Let me check to see what this links is. Oh, yeah! He sent me a link for the Saints 4 debut trailer and said, is this too soon? And is the premise of the game too over 9,000 for you? You know, is it too over dramatic? Is it too over the top? I'm stoked for Saints Row 4. I was wanting that DLC, because I think that's what it's based off, right? It's that last Enter the Dominatrix DLC, and they just built the entire game around it. And it's coming out in August, which is right around the corner, to be fair. So I have a mixed set of emotions. More Saints Row is good, because Saints Row 3 is one of the best games of this generation. And it's so much fun, and you can do so much with it, and the writing's actually funny. And sure, it's over the top, but, you know, it's good over the top. They understand. Everybody's in on the joke. You know, they're not trying to be too holier than thou. And, I mean, sometimes with Grand Theft Auto, it's funny, but it's kind of like, wah, wah, sort of humor sometimes, like, oh, the internet cafe is named TW and then the at sign, you know, and you're like, come on, guys, you're such good writers. You wrote the character Brucey, yet, you know, you have all these really shitty puns. But Brucey was brilliant, man. But yeah, Saints Row 4 looks really cool. I like the premise of having superpowers. I was a big fan of Crackdown. I don't know if you ever played Crackdown, but Crackdown was really fun, and I hope it kind of does something like that with it. But I'm stoked, man. It's August, what, 25th? Something like that. Good times. And last question for Marco Flores. Is Deadpool the new Duke Nukem of video games? And he sends a trailer for the newest Deadpool game, and I would say yes. I think Duke Nukem would be better if he were more like Deadpool, because Deadpool's in on the joke. It kind of does sight gags as regards to, you know, how we look at video games, like health bars and things like that. You know, nothing is off limits. So whenever he's in on the gag and he's pointing it out to you and breaking the fourth wall and stuff, that stuff's awesome. Duke Nukem used to be really good at that, but then Duke Nukem Forever came out and they just ruined that whole premise. Sadly, I mean, Duke Nukem had a lot of potential. If Duke Nukem Forever was about Duke Nukem, like, trying to exist in today's society, in the society of, like, really cynical, snide, sarcastic humor, but Duke Nukem is genuinely, like, balls of steel, and people are like, who's this creep? I think it'd be hilarious. Like, he walks around with his really shitty haircut and his tank top, you know, steroided out, and people are like, this guy's a douchebag. And he's, yeah! Yeah. You know, and, like, really bad guitar solos throughout the entire game. Or basically take the sarcastic humor and put it around Duke Nukem, but have Duke Nukem still be Duke Nukem from, like, 1994. You know, that'd be brilliant, just how things change, and it'd be this nice meta-commentary. But I think Deadpool's kind of scratching that itch, and the Deadpool writers are good enough that they can get away with it. So I'm stoked, man. Deadpool game looks like a lot of fun. Let me bring up some other questions. Thank you so much, Marco, for those. You always send perfect questions in. Let me find the new ones. Yeah, Any Prophet asks, I've been using lady razors to shave my balls. Is there a better method? You know what? I'm going to say yes and no. Because I'm going to say no, there's no better method, because the lady razors have that, I guess, the guards on them. You know what I mean? Like, they have the razor blades, and then there's, like, 2 inches of padding around it. It's like a bumper at a bowling alley. You know, it's like you can't really scratch yourself because, I don't know, it's almost like you're not even shaving with the razor. You're shaving with the plastic on it, or your little felt, whatever fucking material that is, just rubber it might be, I don't know. But that way, it's a guard, right? Because, I mean, you're shaving legs, you're shaving all this other stuff. I mean, and to be fair, I don't know if this is advisable. I know some of my friends in college, this is the only way. They would buy the lady razors to shave their face because, for some reason, you know, I just guess they didn't want to go raw dog and just get the 4 blades and just fucking bleh, or do it like the Old West, just have an actual fucking blade and sling that shit out and do it like that. But you know, I mean, it would be, you know, I don't really want to get into how smooth Any Prophet's balls would be, but but it would work well. Just got to be careful. I would say just get the hair buzzer, you know, like the one of those buzzer kits that you could use on like nostril hair and stuff like that. Just get one of those, go for it, go to town. But just make an hour out of your day. Don't rush through it, because trust me, man, if you try to rush through that shit and something goes wrong, something will go real wrong. So, I mean, keep doing what you're doing. If you're a pro at it, keep it going. Do what works. Do what works. No reason to fix it if it ain't broken. You know, not only for the razor, but your balls as well. Yackle asks, why are teenagers incapable of watching a movie and recording answers on a simple chronological video guide? For those that don't know, Yackle is a public school teacher. God bless you, sir. You are one of the heroes of the world, in my opinion. Not all teachers, just Yackle. No. But I got some family members who are teachers as well. Some from elementary school all the way up to college. And, oh, what a thankless job. But I think teenagers are just dumb. Like, I think teenagers, the fate of teenagers, and the reason why teenagers are the way they are, is their brain is just starting to work in kind of a critical way, where they're questioning things and all this other stuff. But then you have the whole, I don't know if it's hormones or ego trip, I don't know what it is, but they think that they're right, even though they have no experience to go off of. You know what I mean? Shit, I'm only 27. It's not like I have a ton of experience to go off of, but I have more than, you know, a 16-year-old. But the 16-year-olds, man, will just, oh, this is the way it's gotta be, and I've seen some shit in my day. It's like, no, you haven't. Maybe you have. I can't say it for everybody, but your brain's still not to the point to where you could fully process. I guess the thing is, you wouldn't process the circumstances. You wouldn't, the consequences, as it were. You could process, this would be fun, this would be cool, this would be neat, this would be bad, this would be good, but you don't know exactly what's going to happen as an outcome, right? But that comes with experience. I was thinking about this the other day. Well, another little side note. I'm a big fan of Generation Kill, the HBO show. And I was like, if I was a teacher and I was teaching like history, and we got to current day, you know, George W. Bush, the invasion of Baghdad, Iraq, I would love to play Generation Kill for my students. You know, it's an awesome show. It's a pretty violent show. They cuss, all this other stuff. So sure, you'd have to get it approved, and there's probably a whole fucking hierarchy you have to go through to get that shit done. But I would love to play it for my students so they could see a real depiction of what actually happened. Because not only did we not know why we were in Baghdad, they didn't know why they were in Baghdad either. So how frustrating is that? You get called over, you think, oh, you're going to go to a huge war, and then nothing happens. And then you get fucking called back home. So you did nothing. You just wasted time, and it drove those people nuts. Drive me nuts. But then I was thinking, but would a 16-year-old get it? If we played Generation Kill, if we played Band of Brothers, Saving Private Ryan, they'd probably be like, well, I'm in class and this is boring. But it's not boring. That shit's amazing. You know? And I just don't know if they wouldn't appreciate it because the setting it's in, or, you know, because I would have loved that shit. They never did that, anything that cool, and whenever I was in high school. But that'd be awesome. You know, because you would learn and you'd remember it and you'd have something to talk about and it'd start a debate. And, you know, whenever I think of teaching, that's what I think of. And I know probably people that get into the teaching career have that same mentality. But sadly, all the hierarchy and bullshit and the state governments and the funding and, oh, it's just a mess. That's just a rough career. But thanks, Jackal. I don't even know if I answered your question. Why are teenagers incapable? Because they're dumb. That's the answer. But I got a whole bunch of people harassing me to get on StarCraft 2 right now. Oh, man. It's so tempting. I know it's right there, and I know I'm in the middle of recording. Oh, man, but it's so tempting. It's so tempting. But that's it as far as questions. Let me refresh real quick. Let me go back on Twitter. Let me kind of see if anyone else has anything to ask. I don't want to miss anybody. I just did kind of a quick shout out. Frosty asks, did they make carriers good? Carriers are a unit for Protoss in StarCraft 2. I'm not sure. I don't know if they changed a lot on carriers. I know the balance team at Blizzard said that, you know, after this past MLG, which we'll get to here in a little bit, said that nobody knows really how to play the game yet, which is, that's a ballsy statement, but they're probably right. So, carriers might end up being good. They weren't really used too well, as far as I know, in Wings of Liberty, but the same thing as kind of Mothership and Battlecruisers, and, you know, they're just kind of in-game, late-game units that people just didn't really go for, because with that same economy, you could use, you know, you could use it to build 50 of something else. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to say yes, they made carriers great, which probably makes me incorrect. Let's see. Just sorry for kind of the dead air. I'm kind of looking through all this. Got some stuff in Threads. Checking my email real quick. Checking all this other stuff. People still harassing me to get on. No, that's it. That's it for questions. Thank you guys so much for questions. We are going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. Going to talk about the new releases for the week. Going to talk about this past MLG this past weekend. Talk just a little bit of shop about StarCraft 2, because that's the one. That's my frame for this week. My frame of reference. So, hey, we're going to be right back. Stick it here on the Power Hour. Welcome back, guys. New releases for the week of March 17th, 2013. LEGO City Undercover. I guess it's kind of an action-adventure game. Coming out for Wii U. Getting okay reviews. I think GameSpot gave it like an 8 out of 10. All that old 7-9 scale back at it again. But Gears of War Judgment. New Gears of War, which, oddly enough, I think it only releases with 4 multiplayer maps. Which is... that just screams budget game. But it's a full price game. It's $60. And the campaign's apparently really short. I mean, if you're really big into Gears of War, you're going to be getting it anyway. But it doesn't seem like it's worth the full price, you know? I mean, this is just my opinion, of course, but... With the way games are nowadays and how quickly they go on sale, with Gears of War Judgment, I would wait. Just 4 multiplayer maps, that has to be a mistake. They didn't do that on purpose, did they? Like, they must have had more. But that's one of those things, if they had 12 of them and then pulled all of them except for 4, that way they could sell you the rest as map packs. That's some shady business. Speaking of other shady business, The Walking Dead Survival Instinct. This is not the good Walking Dead game. So, I mean, to be fair, I have no interest in it. It's the Activision game. It's a first-person shooter based solely on the TV show. Nah, I mean, in my opinion, the TV show isn't that good anyway. First season was good until they got to the lab place, and then it just got silly. They tried to turn it into Lost, which I don't... you know, Lost was fine. I think the last season of Lost was great. The first 3 seasons of Lost were fantastic. But then 4 and 5 kind of... and then 6 saved it. But as far as The Walking Dead, I've seen... the first season and some of the second, and then I just fell off. I was like, man, I could be watching Game of Thrones, you know. Resident Evil 6 coming out for the PC. I'm not very excited. The only reason I would say I'm excited is because that means it's, one, going to come out on Steam, and two, that means it's going to be on sale during the summer sale. So I might pick it up for like $15, you know, with some coupons or something. Hyperdimension Neptunia Victory for the PS3. It's a bullet hell shooter, I think. I'm pretty sure, with weird anime graphics. Trials Evolution Gold Edition. If you haven't played Trials, it's a blast to play, and it's the most frustrating game on the planet. It's a lot of fun. It's physics-based. The guy with the motorcycle, you have to do flips and all sorts of stuff. It's almost a puzzle game, but it's Twitch-based. It's really fun. If you haven't played it, you really should. Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate for the 3DS makes me wish I still had a 3DS. I loved my 3DS, but I had to sell it off, because that's what babies do, is they, you know, basically take a lot of money to raise. Dead or Alive 5 Plus coming out for the Vita. Assassin's Creed 3 Betrayal, the first bit, or the second bit of DLC for Assassin's Creed 3. Need for Speed Most Wanted U coming out for the Wii U. And then a whole bunch of DLC, like Gianna Sisters, Carnage Hardy XA for the PSP. I don't know what that is. Anyway, that's the major ones. LEGO City Undercover, Gears of War Judgment, The Walking Dead, Resident Evil 6 for PC, Hyperdimension Neptunia, Trials Evolution, Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, and some Dead or Alive action. That's it, man. That's the week in releases. But let's talk about esports and MLG. This past weekend, MLG kicked off. You had some League of Legends, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, but the main reason I was watching is it was the first tournament with Heart of the Swarm, the new StarCraft 2 expansion, and it was freaking amazing. StarCraft 2 is definitely one of those games that even if you don't really understand what's going on, you know what you're watching is interesting. You know, it's one of those, like, how even my fiance was like, well, you know, what is it? I mean, after a while, I was watching it so much over the weekend, she came up and she was like, well, what is that? I'm like, well, that's a worker. They have to go get these minerals, and then everything that you make costs a certain amount of minerals. So it's a game kind of a mathematics, you know. You have to afford the minerals, and if you have this many workers, then you'll get this many minerals per minute, and then you can kind of base a build off of that and kind of counter what your opponent's doing. You know, and I think it was a little above her head, and then, which is fine, it's very above my head. Don't think for a minute I understand StarCraft. But I think the best way I can explain it, for those that have no idea what the type of balance is, imagine playing rock, paper, scissors. Oh, I'll have two examples. The first one, imagine playing rock, paper, scissors with two hands. Each hand is doing whatever. Right? And you're playing against someone who's also playing rock, paper, scissors with two hands. So what do? Do you put some variety and do rock with one hand and paper with the other? Well, what if they do rock and paper? Then it cancels each other out, right? If you do two rocks and they do two papers, they won. They just completely overwhelm you. But if, you know, you can start seeing this intricacy, like, okay, now I'm starting to, instead of playing just rock, paper, or scissors, I'm playing the patterns of the other person. See what I mean? It's starting to kind of trickle in there, right? That's where that strategy comes from. The same thing, imagine if you were playing chess, and the first five moves, you couldn't see your opponent's moves. Right? Like, there was a big cardboard sheet, so you were just doing five moves, you just did your first five moves, and then you lifted up the sheet and you looked, and then you got your information, and then you put that sheet back down, and then you did two more moves, and then you picked up the sheet, put it back down, two more moves, based on kind of where your opponent was going. It makes it very interesting, you know, but with MLG, they were the best players in the world. The finals was unbelievable. It was Zerg versus Terran. Terrans are kind of, I mean, I play Terran, and I will admit that Terran are a little overpowered right now. They have a new Widowmine unit, which is kind of a underground missile launcher that does a shit ton of damage, that's also invisible. So, you know, it's kind of, there you go. Like, you know, other races can detect it. You know, you have to have a unit that can detect invisible units, but that way, that's the easiest way to counter it. But it does a whole lot of damage for not a lot of money. And then the other one is Medivacs, which is a flying ship that heals your units, that got a speed upgrade. So now you can kind of, you know, drive your Medivacs in, drop your, you know, you can load up Medivacs with units. So you'll load up your Medivac, you'll fly it across the map, drop them into your opponent's base, and then before they can chase you down, you can pull your units back and then fly away without getting hit. So it's pretty, you know, kind of changes the game. You could do that before, but now with the speed boost, I think they're faster than any flying unit in the game. besides, well, fuck if I know. I mean, my knowledge of StarCraft goes only so far. I've only played, God, probably 60 games of StarCraft in my entire life. So I'm still very much new, but it's one of those where you can definitely see yourself making progress. But anyway, back to MLG. I keep getting got. This is what I'm talking about, guys. My head is completely in StarCraft this month, or this week. But MLG was so good. It was a Zerg versus Terran, and the Zerg whooped the Terran's ass, which just goes to show, even if a unit or a race is seemed overpowered, if you play well, you can beat anything, you know. And that's what it was, man. It was Life versus Flash. Flash might sound familiar to some of you. He is kind of a Hall of Famer, as it were, in StarCraft. The only more famous person I would think would be Boxer. Boxer is the man, as far as StarCraft is concerned. And then after that is Flash, in my opinion. But it was a hell of a final. But anyway, the whole tournament was unbelievable. It's good enough that if you go to MLG or MajorLeagueGaming.com, they have the replays up. I would actually tell you to invest, if you're wanting to get into competitive StarCraft or just watching cool esports, $10 is a monthly subscription. What I'm going to do probably is spend the 10 bucks, get all the replays, download them, keep them on my hard drive, and just rewatch them over and over. And that way I just do it for a month, and then I got a month of content on my hard drive. Good deal, you know. But, God, MLG was a blast. All the games are in really good shape. League of Legends had a shit ton of viewers. Call of Duty Black Ops 2 had a lot of teams there. I mean, I don't really get the appeal of Black Ops 2 competitive multiplayer. I just don't understand where the strategy comes from, because everyone kind of has access to all the same stuff. It's just who shoots better, you know? I mean, but to be fair, StarCraft's about who can control units better, so I guess it's sort of the same thing. I just don't see the competitive edge in Call of Duty. I mean, I might get hate mail for it, but I literally don't know. Someone explain it to me. Like, I will be more than happy to change my verdict on it, but I just don't get it. But League of Legends, definitely a very competitive game. Free-to-play. Don't need me to tell you to go play fucking League of Legends. Everybody plays it. I think they had 5 million users online all at the same time, I think yesterday. And that's their world record. 5 million users at the same time online playing one video game. That's nuts. That is nuts. But MLG was a blast. If you have an event near you, go to the event. I definitely would have if I would have known that it was in Dallas. Dallas is only a few hours away from me, so I could definitely make it next time. So hell, next year that could be something to shoot for. But anyway, that's MLG. Esports is cool. I don't like the term esports, but I think it's awesome. Watching people a hell of a lot better than I am always makes me strive to do better. But then, now we just talk some StarCraft, man. StarCraft is so good. It is so good. Trying to think of what really to talk about with StarCraft. Right now, I'm just kind of training. I'm trying to learn how to macro better, which is kind of build up my economy. I need to build resources better. I need to make sure I don't get supply blocked, which is basically, you know, you need to build supply just so, because everything you make costs a supply. So the supply cap is 200. So you need to find a way to get to 200 supply and then use all 200 supply to the best of your advantage based on what your opponent's doing. So I always get supply capped, which means I don't build enough depots. So I always end up not being able to build shit. And that will be for like a minute, 2 minutes at a time, which is a century in StarCraft time. But, you know, I'm doing okay. I think I'm versus the very hard AI now, after my ranking matches. So I'm not bad at StarCraft. I mean, I think I'm bad at StarCraft, but at least I'm above where I was. For the longest time, I was stuck on medium. I could not beat medium AI. I would get nervous playing medium computer. And I'm past that point now, so I am making progress, but it's still, I still have the anxiety to play ranked people online. I think once I can comfortably beat elite AI, which is the highest, once I can comfortably beat elite AI, I can do my placement matches and work my way up from there. I think I only placed bronze way back in the day, like a few years ago, back when I literally knew nothing. And I mean, what I should do is probably play ranked again, get in bronze and work my way up. But I just have that fear that, you know, I'll never work my way up, even though that's not true. I just don't know why I have that weird ladder anxiety to hit that matchmaking button, you know? I don't know what it is. I mean, I can't get worse, right? I can only get better. I'm literally in the worst league. It's not like they can delete my account because I'm so fucking bad, you know? But that's how it feels. That's how it feels. I know I can do better. I know what I need to do better. I just can't do it yet. My skill isn't there yet. But, you know, it's just practice makes perfect. But with Heart of the Swarm, they added all sorts of stuff for people just like me. There are versus AI mode. You do your placement matches. They put you up against ever-changing AI opponents. So you just randomly hit. You don't know who your opponent is or what race they're playing or the difficulty. They just randomly put you up against someone of your like-minded skill, which is pretty exciting. So it always changes. You always have a good game. And I think right now what I'm doing is kind of achievement farming. I'm doing outmatched games, which is where I take on two AI opponents. And I won my first game, which is pretty nice. Feels kind of good. I think the biggest achievement for that is to take on like four AI opponents. So one versus four. I don't know if I'm that good yet, but we're going to see. I think I'm going to do that later today. To keep doing that, and then, you know, I got a bunch of friends, I mean, the same friends that are harassing me right now to stop recording this, they're telling me to get on StarCraft, that way they can coach me, they're a hell of a lot better than I am, I think they're ranked in, like, Platinum, Diamond League, you know, because the way it goes Bronze, Silver, Gold, Platinum, Diamond, Masters, and then Grandmasters. Grandmasters are the top 200 people in the world. Then all the other ones just kind of fill up, you know, as more people play, and it kind of based on your matchmaking ranking and kind of a hidden ELO ranking, and then kind of put you where you need to be. That way you're always against like-minded opponents, which is a great system. It works really well. League of Legends has the same thing. But, you know, it has your own league, and, you know, each league has 100 people in it, or each division has 100 people in it, and there's so many divisions in a league. So let's say in my, you know, I haven't ranked, but let's say I'm a bronzer. In my bronze league, there would be 100 people, and that way I can work my way up that one bronze ladder. But then I can switch to a different division, which is still in bronze, but it's a more difficult division, and then I can work my way up that ladder, and, you know, so forth and so forth until I get promoted to silver. And then the same thing happens in silver, then the same thing happens in gold. You know, and you kind of work your way up. But yeah, my friends right now are like in Platinum and Diamond. Fucking, I'm jealous. I'm really jealous. I wish I was that good at StarCraft. That's all I do all day. You know, but I gotta train. I gotta get better. You know, and the only way to get better is to play people that are gonna kick my ass. So, that's that, right? I know, it's silly times. But, sorry for kind of the short episode again, guys. Didn't have a whole bunch to talk about. Like I said, kind of way into StarCraft right now. Probably going to be like that in the next few weeks. Some news as far as Nitrobeard. We got a few more articles up there. There's been some plagiarism I just remembered I didn't talk about SimCity. I said I'd talk about SimCity. SimCity, the big clusterfuck. Now you can apparently play it on offline, but not legally. I mean, basically, whenever you do that, you break the end-user license agreement, and that causes a big shitstorm, and EA gets mad at you and all this other stuff. But in order for you to buy it, and if you bought SimCity, they give you a free game. And it's between, like, Mass Effect 3, Battlefield 3, Dead Space 3, Kingdoms of Amalur. It's a big list. But, you know, games aren't bad. I would not recommend buying SimCity just to get a free game. I would say not worth it. But, you know, I would say just get SimCity 4. You'll be much happier. But yeah, now there's a bunch of gaming press that are taking back what they said, and all, well, we gave it a 9.5 because we think the game's brilliant, and then people are calling them out like, this game's kind of terrible, why'd you give it such a high review? Well, you guys just don't understand how video games are made. You know, that type of argument, which never works. This is a big clusterfuck. I don't know. EA just, they dropped the ball once again, which is sad. They need to get some good momentum, but they're just having bad momentum lately. Oh well, at least Battlefield 3 is still cool. Anyway, that's the show for this week. Like I said, kind of sorry about the short cast. I know I had a short cast last week, kind of a shorter one this week. I'm trying to kind of figure out where Power Hour is headed. I know I want to get a co-host. I'm just trying to find a proper schedule to get it going. That's still definitely in the works. I know I promised it to you guys, and I'm sorry it's not here yet, but it's going to go through some changes. The format might change a little bit. I kind of like doing the week and the week releases, seeing what's coming out every single week. I think it's just kind of a cool thing to do. But, you know, just Power Hour, it's kind of evolving. It's a natural deal, kind of like the Zerg, if I bring it back to StarCraft. You know, just kind of mutating, infesting, as it were, burrowing, kind of getting ready. It's an organic thing, living, breathing, and it's all because of you guys sending in awesome questions. But just, hey, in the comment section, tell me what you think of the Power Hour. Tell me if you think it really does need a second person, and then I can get right on that as my number one priority. You know what? We might make the Power Hour a different being altogether. It might be, hell, it might be esports focused. It might be fucking comic book focused. It might, you know, who knows? Who knows what it's going to be? It might just be a general off-topic podcast. You know, talk about politics or whatever. Pro wrestling, and we kind of do a little bit of that lately. But, you know, just kind of waiting for WrestleMania to do another big wrestling segment. But yeah, like I said, Power Hour, it's all up to you guys. I do the show for you guys, you know. I love doing the show. I really do. I love being on podcasts. If it were up to me, I'd be on every podcast on Nitro Beard. But, you know, schedules being the way they are, and, you know, having a baby, and it's just a little awkward. A little awkward for the timing. But speaking of, go get the Jumpcast. Go get Free to Play. Two of the best podcasts on the internet. I live and die by that statement. Nitro Beard always bringing you the cool stuff. I'm going to be working on a few more editorials, just trying to find time to do it with the family stuff. It's kind of tricky, but hey, hope you guys understand. But anyways, thank you so much for the awesome questions. Hope you guys had fun this round. No, it was StarCraft 2 focused, but hey, it's a great time to get in it. They have a starter edition you can download for free to get your feet wet. If you do get some StarCraft action, leave a comment, leave your name on there. I'll add you up. We can play some games. It'll be a lot of fun, man. Until next time, though, as always, be sure to power up.